Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. In the Bay Area, we are lucky to be surrounded by exquisite landscapes, mountains, coastal bluffs, wetlands, and redwood forests. Within 10 Bay Area counties, nearly 1.5 million acres of land are permanently protected, according to the Conservation Lands Network. The stunning beauty and diversity of Bay Area landscapes are a testament to the hard fights championed by environmentalists over the years. It's an effort conservationists continue to battle against encroaching development. Hopefully even more land will gain protective status. Last month, we did a show about the healing power of spending time outside. Research shows that spending time in nature enhances our mental and physical well-being. So on today's Your Call, we are talking about the best Bay Area hikes and walks. And joining me are two guests. Jane Huber created the Bay Area Hiker website in 1999. She's the author of 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles, San Francisco. And Jane joins me here in studio. Hi, Jane. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Aaron Gilbert. He has been a youth worker and outdoor educator in the Bay Area for over 10 years. As the program director for Bay Area Wilderness Training, Aaron has helped bring access to outdoor experiences to over 35,000 young people. Bay Area Wilderness Training provides wilderness leadership training to groups serving youth, and they also work with teachers to train them on how to lead day hikes. And Aaron also joins me in studio. Hi, Aaron. Thank you for coming in.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Great to have you. So we did a show last month about the power of being outside and just talked about the overall, how it affects our well-being and mental health, and we were bombarded with phone calls. And so we thought, let's do more shows about the outdoors this year. So Jane, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, you started this website back in 1999, so you definitely know the positive effects of being outside.
It's true. And just a few weeks ago, I had this realization that no matter how crabby I am or tired or annoyed by politics or situation in the world or anything like that, that going for a hike just always made things better for me. And yeah, I mean, I know that because I've been hiking for so long, but that's something that I hope other people can embrace too, because it's just such a wonderful, awesome thing to do.
And Aaron, what about you? I mean, you love the outdoors, but you also take youth outside. I mean, it's amazing to think that you have brought access to outdoor experiences to over 35,000 young people.
Yeah, we at Bay Area Wilderness Training really think that the outdoors can be for everyone and should be accessible to everyone. And, you know, through our programs, we've been able to train a lot of teachers and youth workers to bring the youth that they work with all the time outdoors, and really see it as much about the things that you're talking about, healing for yourself, but also environmental justice as well, just the equity to accessing all these places that are around us is so important.
And Jane, talk about Bay Area Hiker. I mean, you started this when the internet was still relatively new back in 1999.
I know. I meet a lot of people now who say, oh, so it's a blog. And I say, no, it's a website. I don't know. Some people maybe don't even remember what those are anymore. I had just been hiking a lot, and my friends and my now husband suggested that I make a website, and I didn't know anything about that. And I just kind of started and taught myself how to do it, and it's been growing ever since.
And so I checked your website, and you have so many hikes. Have you experienced most of these hikes personally?
Oh, yeah, me. It's all me.
All you?
Yes.
Wow. So you have been around. So talk a little bit about some of your favorites right now, especially after we've had this good rain.
Yeah, boy, it's a day like today. Everybody wants to be out hiking, I know. I just love the area around Mount Tamalpais. All of it is amazing and gorgeous. And this time of year, the hike around Phoenix Lake, which has started near Kentfield, is just absolutely spectacular. Wildflowers everywhere and beautifully green and just wonderful, wonderful views of the summit of Tam. It's definitely a winner.
Phoenix Lake near Kentfield?
Mm-hmm.
And it's on your website?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And again, the website is Bay Area Hiker. What about you, Aaron? What are some of your favorites?
Well, I just went on a great hike about 2 weeks ago with some of our staff members at Rancho Cañada del Oro down in the Santa Clara Valley open space. Just to scout, we're actually going to lead a training out there for teachers and youth workers to teach them how to lead kids. And it was beautiful. Got up on the ridges, and it was all green and nice 4-mile loop, and another place I've never been. They also have ADA accessible loop trail in the ground. So again, the accessibility is really important.
Yeah, in fact, before the show, we were saying let's definitely talk about accessibility. Land's End is one of my favorite San Francisco hikes. If you don't have a car, you can get there by bus, and it's very accessible. How common is that, Jane, when you look at ADA hikes or walks?
It's changing. There are when people are rebuilding trails or building trails in the first place, they're now taking so much more emphasis and consideration of having all people be able to use them. So it's become very standard for new trails. There are plenty of places in the Bay Area that are mostly accessible. They may be paved. They may have a very gentle grade, and they may have bumpers or some kind of barrier to keep people from falling off the trail in a wheelchair. So there are more options all the time for those. Land's End is great because you can get actually access to the trail without having to walk up steps. That can be a big barrier to some people in places. Or
right.
Gates. Gates are also a big barrier to people.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we talk about hiking and walking today, because some people, when they think of hikes, they think of the Dipsy Trail, which is amazing, but you know, it's kind of grueling in some parts.
Right.
So, but there are so many amazing hikes that a lot of people can do.
Hey, I think that those flat trails that are wheelchair accessible are great places for people to start. I think people can be very intimidated, and they see something like my website and they're like, oh, well, I don't know where to start. There's so many different places. Where do I go? Or they think they're not going to be able to do a hard hike, or they might get in over their heads and get in trouble. So start easy and walk. You know, San Francisco and most of the East Bay is great for walking.
Right. And Aaron, you were just saying that for a birthday, you did this amazing city walk.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. I met friends at Glen Park BART station. We walked up to Glen Canyon and walked the trail all the way up to the top, up, and then hiked over Twin Peaks and go around the Sutro Tower, through the Sutro Heights, and then down to the sunset, down through a staircase. So there are trails that run through the great city of San Francisco, and you can see coyotes on those trails, and it's pretty amazing, and hawks.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Today we are talking about the best Bay Area hikes and walks, and we'd love to hear from you. We are going to do more shows about the outdoors this year. If you heard our show last month about the healing power of nature, we were just inundated with phone calls. So we got together and said, all right, let's talk more about the outdoors. So today we're talking about the best Bay Area hikes and walks. And we'd love to hear from you. What is your favorite Bay Area hike? What tips do you have for new hikers or new walkers? What do you enjoy about hiking? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Aaron, tell us a little bit more about the work you do for Bay Area Wilderness. And what is it like for youth who don't spend that much time outdoors and then are introduced to it?
Yeah, so we do trainings, like I said, for teachers and youth workers so they can learn all the skills that they need to feel comfortable to take their experiences in the classroom and after school into an outdoor setting. And they can just do what they do best. And we get so many stories from youth. And last year there was a student from a high school in Hayward who wrote us a little essay saying, you know, I can't remember the last time I was 10 feet away from my cell phone. I realize I make such better connections with my friends just being with them. I can learn more about them talking around a campfire than stalking them on Twitter or Facebook. And finally, he finishes saying, I realize I exist without a selfie.
Wow.
And it's sort of crazy to think about, but these opportunities to disconnect are really powerful. And so that's just one example.
Okay, so I have to say for listeners who maybe don't spend a lot of time with their phones, and I'm sure we have a lot, and don't take a lot of selfies, it is now very common when you go on a hike to see so many people taking selfies, and they have these selfie sticks so the camera is further away from your face. National parks have actually banned these selfie sticks because they're getting in the way of so many people. So for a kid to say that I actually exist outside of a selfie is actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, we talk about these things on our trainings. We have teachers talk about what they want to do with technology. We actually are not like anti-technology. We're not trying to be Luddites here. Technology plays a really important role. And And if you're going to create relevant experiences for youth, you need to meet them where they're at. And just saying a prohibition of cell phones or prohibition of cameras, you're going to ostracize more than you're going to bring inclusion. And so we have them think about how to approach these issues and help kids see that there's a duality. They can have one, not the other, and they can create the boundaries.
That's so great.
It's really important.
What is it like working with educators? Do they understand the benefits of spending more time outside, and are they trying to bring that in, well, bring it into the classroom, but then bring the kids outside of the classroom?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. I mean, educators are some of the best people to work with, and they've dedicated their lives to being with young people, and the people we get to be with, they've said, I'm going to spend extra time on the weekends or after my hours to do this. So they bring a lot of energy to it.
We have a recommendation from Michael in Berkeley who couldn't stand the line, but he wanted to recommend Tennessee Valley. And I just took this walk this weekend. It's right before you hit Mill Valley. It's a beautiful walk. It's about 3 miles to the beach. It's pretty flat. If you have more time and you want to be more adventurous, you can actually walk over the hill over to Muir Beach. And there's the Pelican Bay Inn, I think. You can get some food and a drink. It's a gorgeous hike.
It is. And one of the things that's great about that is it's so easy.
Right.
It's almost completely flat. Although I did find out that's one of the hikes I took my son on when he was a baby. And it's not so easy to push a stroller through that sand. It gets loose sand for a while.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful hike.
That's a wonderful one. Thank you. Again, that's Tennessee Valley. And you do have to have a car for that one. It's almost to Mill Valley. Thank you for that. Greg writes in, it looks like Death Valley is the place to be for wildflowers right now. He says, I don't think I'll make it out there. But yeah, I've seen these photos. Gorgeous.
Super year. Yeah.
And is this because we're feeling like spring right now? Is this normal for Death Valley to be full of wildflowers in February?
I think it has to do with the amount of rain that they got. Mm-hmm. I have been there before on a year that probably wasn't as good as this one is going to be. But when they get a whole lot of rain, all those seeds that just kind of sit and wait all germinate at the same time and make these huge carpets of flowers. It's something that's pretty amazing to see.
So beautiful. And then I would add to that, since we're talking about wildflowers, Pinnacles.
Yes.
Now a national park.
Yes.
And it's amazing for camping, and then the hiking is just incredible.
Caves.
Yes.
Crawl through. Bring your flashlight.
Yeah, you can crawl through caves, and then there are just wildflowers.
And condors.
Yes.
Yeah, people see condors there regularly. That's pretty special.
Have you spent much time in Pinnacles?
Yeah, we just take kids camping there and go through the caves. They love it. It's a very special place.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Greg. And then we've got an email from Anand who says, what a great subject. I live in the Oakland Hills, and I'm very lucky to be so close to Redwoods, Robert Chabot, and Joaquin Miller Park. Do you want to add anything about those, Jane?
Man, Redwood Park, it's so amazing. To just think of these redwoods in the middle of, up the hill from a great big city, and the fact that there used to be redwoods big and tall enough there that people would navigate into the harbor by spotting those redwoods up on the ridge in Redwood Park. It's beautiful. Ladybugs converge there in the winter. That's something special that kids, I think, really love, and adults too. And, creeks and wildflowers, and just beautiful and peaceful.
Yeah, I'll just add, Joaquin Miller is fantastic. There's lots of great trails there. You can climb up, but you can also kind of stay low. There's a great meadow, and you get a great overlook of the city. And then in Redwood Regional, if you go up to the Skyline Gate in particular, you can go on the East or the West Ridge trails, and those are fire roads, so they're pretty accessible with pushing if you're in a wheelchair or even pushing a child in a stroller. So nice.
And then Anand writes, Leona Canyon is just behind our street, and I hike there on my own about 2 times a week. Overall, I hike about 22 to 25 miles a week. I go with a local group on Wednesdays in various parks and hike 8 to 10 miles, about 1,700-foot elevation gain, similar to Sierra Club. On Sunday, I hike with friends in Joaquin Miller about 5 miles. There are so many trails I love. My favorites are French Train in Redwood, Cascade Trail in Chabot, Palos Colorados and Fern Ravine, and Sequoia Bay View in Joaquin Miller Park, Pyrite and Artemisia in Leona Canyon. Your program has started, so I better pay attention to it. Those are great recommendations. And I'm so glad Anand brought up groups, because some of us might have, our friends might not like long hiking, and some people don't want to hike alone. And so there are lots of groups you can join in the Bay Area. Right, Jane?
Yeah, there really are. There are groups associated with various park districts, like the Mid-Peninsula Regional Open Space District has a very good docent program. So they lead groups through hikes all through their preserves. So you can often find groups through the area where you live. If you live in the East Bay, check the East Bay Regional Park District. And then there are also groups through Sierra Club, and there are other just independent hiking groups to research on your own.
Yeah, lots of meetups. They even do camping trips.
Yeah, and I'll mention something about that, which is you know, two groups that we work with, Barry Williams Training, are Latino Outdoors and Outdoor Afro. Mm-hmm. And so these two groups are really trying to bring accessibility to communities that have not always been as represented in the media of people who go outdoors. And certainly it's been wonderful to work with them and help them bring outdoors to new communities, introduce people to the outdoors.
Yeah, those two groups were mentioned last time around, and we wanted to do a show with them.
They're great.
They're growing. I mean, I'm watching their Facebook page, and it's really great to see so many people involved.
Yeah, we feel really lucky to be partnered with them. Actually, the hiking program we're going to be doing in the South Bay, Jose Gonzalez from Latino Outdoors will be on the hike with us, talking more about how do you create relevant experiences for youth in the outdoors. And we're really excited to do this work and make sure that hiking is relevant for everyone.
Today, we are talking about the best Bay Area hikes in the Bay Area, hikes and walks. Aaron Gilbert has been a youth worker and outdoor educator in the Bay Area for over 10 years. As program director for Bay Area Wilderness Training, he has helped bring access to outdoor experiences to over 35,000 young people. And Jane Huber created the Bay Area Hiker website in 1999. Jane is the author of 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles, San Francisco. And we'd love to hear from you. What are your favorite Bay Area hikes and walks? And what does it do for you when you spend time outside? We did a show last month. You can find it online at yourcallradio.org about the many benefits of the spending time outside. The fact is, nature really does heal. And so we got such a great response from that show. And we decided to do more shows about the outdoors, and we're already bombarded with emails. Michelle writes, Tamales Point and Point Reyes National Seashore and Berry Creek Falls Loop Hike in Big Basin State Park. Point Reyes is incredible. So many great hikes. What would you recommend there, Jane?
The Tamales Point is one of my favorites for sure. I also really love Tamales Bay State Park, which kind of gets a little bit hidden on the peninsula because it's a state park surrounded by national parklands. My son and I go every August. It's one of our traditions when he's out of school. He samples the huckleberries along the way because he's a big huckleberry fan. And then when we get down to the beach, he likes to just dip in the bay. And then we hike back up to the car and get ice cream in Point Reyes. So I love all of Point Reyes. It's a magical place. I don't really think you can go wrong anywhere on that peninsula.
Yeah, one place that we recommend that a lot of our groups take kids is to Coast Camp. And so it's a very easy hike from the hostel there down a very easy trail to the beach. And there's camping there, so you can get a campground and take the kids to the beach. And again, very accessible for young people.
Mm-hmm. And we have another email from Glenn, the Albany Bulb. Are either of you familiar with that
Still
one?
Still haven't been there.
Yeah, I've been there. It's quite an eclectic place to walk around. Very colorful environment with graffiti and yeah.
Glenn described it as a funky former dump just north of the horse track.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Sati writes in, I'm hoping the information can be posted on your website as I'm currently at work and I cannot stay tuned. Yes, I was just thinking about that. When we do shows about our favorite books or books we're reading, we put a list together. So we will put a list together of these hikes because hopefully this will inspire more of us to spend more time outside. Also, Sati wanted to get more information about joining the training or a subsequent session for leading youth on walks. How can people get involved?
Yeah, you can check out our website at www.bawt.org. And also, you can come join us. Every third Wednesday, we have a volunteer night and discovery session. So the next one will be on March 16th. And you can sign up on our website. It's our discovery session, and we'll tell you more about how to get involved.
Okay, great. Thank you for that email. And you can find more information at yourcallradio.org. I was waiting for this email to come in from Lee. I would never broadcast my favorite hiking spots, which are already discouragingly overrun with traffic and loud crowds. Tennessee Valley is a good case in point. Well, I went there in the middle of a Saturday, and it wasn't that bad. I mean, there were times when you had to kind of pass
squeeze
people,
in.
But it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
I think it's just hit and miss.
Yeah.
Definitely, if people want to escape crowds, they should go during the week if they can. Go very early in the morning or late in the afternoon. But, yeah, there are some places that just got very, very loved.
Yeah, I mean, I think, interesting, I went and did this hike on a very, we had a beautiful weekend, President's Day weekend, and I went there, and it was very busy. But we decided to park along one of the roads and start on the ridge as opposed to in the main parking lot. And so we actually had a lot of the trail to ourselves. And then we met everybody at the beach and hiked back. And so there's ways to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Lee, for not broadcasting your favorite hiking spots. I'm sure you've got a lot. Anand writes, I took my wife on Stream Trail in Redwood City yesterday afternoon to show her the ladybugs, but they were all gone.
I guess they've moved on. It's typically December and January, so maybe it's too warm for them now.
Well, thank you for that, Anand. Maybe they'll come back.
Next year.
David writes in, the Bay Trail is 350 miles of urban, suburban, and semi-rural waterfront through 49 cities. We can bike, cross bridges, and experience wetland wildlife. We are fortunate to have this system along our waterfront so we can appreciate the marine environment of the bay. One of my favorites is the San Pablo Bay Wildlife Refuge off of Highway 37.
Oh, no, that's remote. You're not going to be fighting people off there. That's very, very quiet.
And what does that look like?
It's marshlands. It's flat, levee trails. Some of the trails go right on the edge of the bay. And it's just very peaceful and quiet with a, you know, you're looking out over the bay, looking south. It's gorgeous.
Hmm. And what about the protection of these amazing places? Since you started your site back in 1999, have you paid much attention to that? Just about the amazing people who fought so hard to preserve all of these places?
And people still are fighting very hard. It's true. It's been a long time of, you know, since Muir Woods, basically, of people just adding on to our amazing lands that we have. A lot of the property that we have is protected because it used to be military bases, oddly. When you think about the Marin Headlands, mm-hmm. Sweeney Ridge and a lot of other places that were used by the military and now have become, happily for us, undeveloped and open space.
I wanted to give a shout out to Sylvia McLaughlin, Save the Bay's last living founder, and she died at her home in Berkeley last month. I'm getting this information from KQED's website. She was 99 years old. And this is the organization that helped kick off the modern grassroots environmental movement in the Bay Area. And in the 50s, the Bay was in dire straits, really. I mean, the developers wanted to put 20,000 residents on Mount Tam. In fact, when you hike Tennessee Valley, you can learn about it on the hike.
Yeah, there are some fire roads that used to be, they were going to be roads up into the development. That's why those fire roads exist.
And so she and her friends started a movement to stop this, and it's just amazing. There's a documentary about all of the work that these wonderful, mostly women, took on.
Yeah,
it's really important.
Do you talk to the kids about this?
Yeah, we do. And again, so we talk about this when we do our trainings with the teachers. We talk about the history of the places that we're at and how they've been become parks, and we encourage them to find out more to talk about not just the history of it being preserved into parks now, but also the native history of the people who lived on the land before European settlement.
Well, thank you for doing that. That's really important. I noticed that when you go on these hikes, they sort of mention the Native Americans and then just say they quietly disappeared or they still live here in this area, but they don't really say much more than that.
Yeah, there's a beautiful, we have a partnership in the Presidio with the National Park Service, the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy, and the Presidio Trust, Camping the Presidio program. And every year there's been an invitation to a group of Ohlone who come up from Pomona, actually. Their community live down there, and they come up and they have, they stay at the campground for a couple weeks, and, you know, they're really clear, like, we are a culture, we are alive, we are here, this is our home, we are returning, and it's important that that everybody knows about that.
Aaron Gilbert has been a youth worker and outdoor educator in the Bay Area for 10 years. He's program director for the Bay Area Wilderness Training. And Jane Huber created the Bay Area Hiker website in 1999. She's author of 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles San Francisco. Today we're talking about the best Bay Area hikes and walks and the benefits of being in the outdoors. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Your Call on KALW Local Public Radio. To take part in today's conversation, call us at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK, toll free. Let us know if you're a first-time caller. We always like to hear from new voices. And if you prefer to write rather than call, you can email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment at yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will talk about the water crisis in Flint. In 2014, a state-appointed emergency manager running the city changed its water source from the treated Detroit water system to the corrosive Flint River. Well, here we are 2 years later, and lead-contaminated water has affected nearly all of the city's 100,000 residents. They have been forced to drink bottled water. So we're going to talk about the root causes of Flint's water crisis. On Wednesday, we will have a conversation about Turkey. And then on Thursday, we are going to talk about DuPont's decades-long history of chemical pollution. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about how we can all find balance in our lives and get away from some of this news by going outside and spending time in the great outdoors. We are lucky to be surrounded by so many amazing hikes and walks. And we'd love to hear from you. What are some of your favorites when you want to just get away and spend time out in nature? We'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today we're joined by Jane Huber. She created the Bay Area Hiker website in 1999. She's author of 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles, San Francisco. Aaron Gilbert is program director for Bay Area Wilderness Training. He has helped bring access to outdoor experiences to over 35,000 young people. And let's hear from Sean in San Francisco. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the show.
How are you? I'm excited to be on the show today because I lived in San Francisco on and off for 20 years, and I'm an avid hiker, runner, and mountain biker. And I found San Francisco to be probably one of the greatest cities in the world. And I'm not saying it's the greatest because there's many, but probably one of the greatest cities in the world for the combination of whether you want to do urban hikes or you want to go down and just be part of nature. And that would be, I would think, probably the most beautiful place in the world, the Land's End hike.
Mm-hmm.
But that can be a little challenging for some people. But then before you get to Land's End, you got the Sutro Bath ruins that offer some great opportunities for some hiking. Acre Beach with the land, with the sand bridge. Then they made all those improvements to Golden Gate Bridge now, so they got the bridge, so it makes it easier to go around and through the bunkers, and that's just beautiful. What they've been doing for the Presidio, they've just been making huge improvements there and I think it's also very accessible for wheelchairs, and the same thing with the improvements over at the Golden Gate Bridge. And then you got Presidio, Chrissy Field, you know, and then all the hiking, walking trails that can basically take you from Chrissy Field all the way to AT&T Park, which I think 99% of it's off-road. And I think the ultimate training, if you like, or at least for variety, would be San Bruno Mountain, which I think is a hidden jewel. They got a bunch of trails, loops, some, 2 miles, 3 miles long, some more difficult, some easier, some very challenging if you go up to the radio towers. But if you're a hiker and you want to train, that's the ultimate place to train because you can break it into, from easier hikes and then gradually develop a longer hike. So I think that's what I wanted to say. But one other point I want to make is I grew up in upstate New York, and our biggest park was Roosevelt's Mansion. And so to me, it's like a 50 acre or whatever. Then I ended up hitchhiking across the country and ending up in Yellowstone.
Oh, wow, fun.
And that was the paradigm shift. I went from somebody that had no problem throwing a piece of gum paper on the ground, like when I do some of these hikes, to pick up bottles along the way just so that the next person doesn't have to see it.
Huh.
But we haven't even talked about Marin. And Marin, basically, once you get across, hiking across the bridge, you can pretty much hike all the way up to Oregon. So I think we got the best spot, or one of the best spots in the world for hiking. I'm glad you brought this up, and I'm glad I was able to share some of this.
Well, Sean, you've got to be our next guest. I love your enthusiasm and energy. Thank you so much. What an amazing experience. Sounds like you had hitchhiking, then ending up at Yellowstone. You gave us so many great examples. Jane, I noticed when Sean was talking about San Bruno Mountain, you got pretty excited.
Oh, San Bruno. Well, I go there a lot because I live in the south part of the city, so it only takes me a few minutes to get there, and that is just amazing to me. And we have done family hikes there. I do hikes by myself. Wildflowers are amazing. The views are amazing. And it's very quiet and peaceful. I'm surprised about that because it is so close to the city. And yet I don't encounter a lot of people on the trails. And it's just one of my favorite places.
Wow. I haven't spent any time there.
Oh, you have to go.
San Bruno Mountain. Thank you. Are you familiar with it, Aaron?
Yeah, I've biked over it, but I've never gone hiking on trails.
Yeah, it sounds great. Well, thank you again, Sean, for all of those great recommendations. Let's go next to Sequoia in Richmond. Hi, Sequoia.
Hi there. Thank you so much. I'm a first-time caller because I heard a very awesome person on the radio. Shout out to Aaron Gilbert.
Hi, Sequoia.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks so much for coming on and talking about one of my favorite things ever. And I just really have to say that I'm blessed to be living here in the Bay Area and also in Richmond, where we have Millinocks Shoreline Park that has amazing hills to walk in and also a great biking area down below. It's very flat, great for newbies. And that's been my place throughout the years. No matter what I'm doing, it's always my go-to to come back home into myself. And I always find myself wanting to take my shoes off and just kind of get in there. And it's really nice now because it's kind of muddy. So I just want to say Millinocks Shoreline Park in Richmond is where it's at.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Sequoia. Let's go next to Ahan in San Francisco. Hi, Ahan. Welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. I'd just like to mention a simple hike in San Francisco, the Citro Forest, which is like entering an enchanted forest. It's easily accessible from 17th and Stanyan, and you're behind UCSF, but you're in a forest, and it's just beautiful. As well, the other issue is that it's in danger of being deforested by various organizations, unfortunately. But it is a really beautiful walk right in the middle of the city. You can then go to the Cold Valley and have a lovely lunch afterwards. It's a real gem of the city. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Yeah, there's a website called Save Mount Sutro Forest if you want to find information about what's happening there. All right, thank you for that, Ahan. Let's go next to Jan in San Francisco. Hi, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, this is Jan. Speaking of the southern part of the city, right where your station is, McLaren Park is a very nice place to walk around, and it's huge and rather underutilized, probably because it has a reputation for being slightly unsafe, but I have never experienced anything remotely unsafe about it, partly because it's been improved. There's been a lot of investment. And the second thing, very close to that, is Bayview Park, which is visible from McLaren Park as you're facing east. And it's a little hillock, and it's only accessible, to my knowledge, by one street. But once you're up there, it's a pinnacle. It's a way. There's a road all the way around the top of the mountain, and you can see the whole city as you traverse the 360 degrees.
Well, thank you. We actually have another caller about McLaren Park. Let's go to Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, McLaren Park is right by the radio station, I believe.
Yep.
And the thing that I wanted to highlight about McLaren Park, aside from the fact that it is the sister to San Bruno Mountain, and you can face each other, they face each other, is that it has something called Philosopher's Walk, which is trails and paved roads and everything all through the park where you can walk and discuss deep questions with your companion. That's what it's designed for, and it's marked out in the park with little markers, little nice stone markers, and also there are also markers around the park that are beautiful little artworks carved in granite and with kind of photography. I don't know how they do it, but they got photography on there, and one of them looks at San Bruno Mountain and talks about it. Okay.
Very nice. Thank you, Judy. What would you say about McLaren Park?
McLaren Park is really wonderful. I want to point out that there's a lot of road construction going on right mm-hmm. now in Mansell, so it can be kind of difficult for people to get to the park. But especially this time of year when the grass is very green, gorgeous.
All right. Well, thank you for all of those recommendations. And you can join us. We have lines free now at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We've got a lot more emails. I'll just go through a few. Kosi writes, for non-drivers, which Bay Area BART or bus stations are within walking distance of a hike? What are some of your favorites?
Well, I'll just add to that. I mentioned you can go to Glen Park BART and walk up to Glen Canyon. But there's a great website, transitandtrails.org, and I guess Jay might be adding this functionality to her website as well. But basically, it has different hikes with the trailheads listed, and then you can click on them, and it'll take you to either 511 or Google Maps and tell you how to get there by public transportation directly to the trailhead. And maybe Jane can talk about what she's doing on her site related to this.
Yeah, I've added embedded Google Maps to my website so that when people click on the trailhead on the map, it will give them an option to have driving directions or public transit directions to that trailhead.
And Kosi wants to know, is it possible to get to the wildflowers in Mount Diablo from San Francisco via public transit?
I don't think so. You know, a really great public transit hike is Angel Island, because that's the only way to get there is by boat. You could take BART or take Muni and then take the ferry from San Francisco or from Tiburon, I believe, and that's public transit all the way.
Right. And then Land's End, you can take the Geary bus all the way out.
Right.
And it drops you right there. Anything else? Any other recommendations?
There's a bus that goes out to the Headlands. You can go out to Rodeo Beach, and then you're right in the Headlands, and you can go hiking as well as, you know, anything just to the Golden Gate Bridge. And then there's a lot of actually Golden Gate Transit has a lot up into Mill Valley. And then once you're in Mill Valley, you can hike up in towards Mount Tam and trails there right from downtown Mill Valley.
And Kosi also says, thank you for using the word walk, as in the UK and Oz, let's go for a walk as a sociable activity. Walk is less intimidating than hike. One doesn't need special clothes. thank you, Kosi. And he or she says, walking the streets of San Francisco, either guided or alone, also provides the physical, intellectual, and spiritual benefits of walking in the countryside. In San Francisco, Buena Vista Park, San Francisco's first park, and surrounding areas of Ashbury Heights and the Castro is a lovely place to start.
I just said about public transportation. We did have a group that would do backpacking actually in Point Reyes, and they would use Muni, Golden Gate Transit, and then the West Marin coach to get all the way out to Point Reyes, and they would just use one vehicle to shuttle all the camping equipment out. So you can do these adventures via public transportation. Samuel P. Taylor also has the stagecoach goes right there as well.
Yeah, and I used to belong to a lot of different hiking groups, and a lot of people who just moved to the area had no cars. And so you join a group, and then somebody will definitely give you a ride. Mm-hmm. I mean, you meet the most amazing people on these hiking and backpacking groups. So thank you, Kosi. Check out some of those groups, and maybe you can get a ride, actually, to Diablo to see those beautiful wildflowers. We've got an email from Ron. One of my favorites is Coyote Hills in Fremont in East Bay Regional Park. Many scenic hikes, numerous bird species, visitor center with museum exhibits. They offer events, including the return of the monarch butterfly. Most areas are not very crowded, even on the weekends. Beautiful scenery, and the San Pablo National Wildlife Refuge is right next door.
Yeah, I visited there. It's gorgeous. And that interpretive center has some wonderful Ohlone interpretation at natural history there as well. And they also have some interpretive rangers that do programming around that. So it's great. You get to see the whole southern part of the bay and fantastic hikes.
Thank you, Ron. Richard writes, I would like to take my grandchildren, who are 5 and 9, on hikes led by guides who combine hiking with biology and history of the area. Do you have any recommendations?
I guess it would depend on what part of the Bay Area he's looking to do this in, but most park districts who do guided hikes, that's kind of their standard, is they provide all kinds of interesting information, history, natural, everything. That's usually part of a hike. So I would suggest that he might want to start somewhere in his local park district.
Yeah, if you go on the websites of all these park districts or open spaces, you look at it for interpretation, is usually, you might not think that that's the word, but that's the word that they're using, interpretation and education, and you can find programs that they're leading.
And are there any specific websites for people with children? Good hikes for kids?
I have some on my website, starting from when my son was a baby, we would hike with him, in a carrier. So there are websites out there. You just have to poke around for them.
I know of there's a bunch of bloggers. I know of a blogger, right. Chosky Mom, who writes a blog about like hiking with her family. And so you could check that out as
okay,
well.
Okay, great. And again, Jane's website is Bay Area Hiker. It's bahiker.com. BAHiker.com. Thank you, Richard. Caroline writes, Briones Park also has great hikes with wildflowers in the early spring. We have not been that yet this year, but it's one of our favorites.
It's fantastic. It's a beautiful park. If you like to ride bikes, you can ride. It's part of a great Bay Area bike ride, and you could actually access that from Orinda BART station by bike and then go on a hike from there. It's not very far.
And that's in the East Bay.
That's in the East Bay, yes.
Okay. We've got another question for people with children. Are there day camps for young children that combine hiking, survival, biology, and history?
I know that the Christie Field Center runs camps during the summer, and I know that San Francisco Park District runs some summer adventure camps at the parks here, and they're doing more outdoor education. So those are two that I know of.
Okay. Any others, Jane? All right. Thank you, Michael. Hope that helps. I would recommend another Michael writes in, I'd recommend Bear Valley in West Marin and Point Bonita in the Marin Headlands. A tip for the tech addicted, there are plenty of trail maps, but also Pedometer is a great iPhone app that has encouraged my wife and I to reach 10,000 steps a day. It gamifies the experience and encourages us to walk longer and more often into more trails.
I noticed that with my son when he has a Fitbit now, and when we go hiking, that's something that he gets feedback from. He can see how far he's gone just on his own feet, and that's very positive.
Whatever it takes, let's get people out.
Yes. Right. All right. Thank you, Michael. Let's go back to a few phone calls, and then we will go back to emails because we have so many. Let's hear from Jim in Marin County. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wanting to bring up the subject of garbage, which is being left on the trails these days. There seems to be lots of pet owners that leave plastic bags out on the trail. And people actually use the trails for bathrooms, and they leave toilet paper on the trails. It's a huge problem, and maybe your callers aren't these people, but I think it's a problem that needs to be addressed. And it's great seeing people out on the trails. I love that. But I was born in San Francisco, raised in Marin, and I love our outdoor system, but I hate seeing all the garbage that's being left behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, we address that a lot on our trainings. Actually, we talk a lot about leave no trace ethics and how to teach people how to respect the places that they're in, and it's important.
I think that when we go and pick up garbage as responsible hikers, and people don't see garbage, they perhaps won't be so prone to throw away garbage. That's my hope, anyway.
Right. I see it a lot. I mean, the further out you go, of course, you don't really see it much. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's there. And I don't know what it is. Do we need more trash cans or...
Yeah, I think if we're having more people visit, it talks about trail management. I mean, if we're going to have more visitors, which is important, and we want people to be visiting these places, because that's how they're going to be continue to be protected. If people are going out into them, then yeah, we need to think more about the management of like creating more trash receptacles and education.
Yeah, education's huge. All right. Well, yeah, it's an important one to bring up, and I'm glad you called in, Jane. Jim, thank you. Let's go next to Rez in San Francisco. Hi, Rez.
Hey, my name is Rez, and I'm a volunteer crew leader for two great resources, the Suture Stewards, and Volunteers for Outdoor California, and that's a really great way to find out more about trails. We have a lot of first-timers on the trail. And another great resource is a fairly new map called the Walker's Map of San Francisco. And why this map is so huge, my experience growing up in San Francisco and not having a car, is that the trail maps only show freeway access to these parks, whereas the Walker's map shows city streets and bus lines. And that's a great resource even if you do have a car, because a lot of these San Francisco walks are less cumbersome if you just walk or take transit the whole way and don't have to worry about parking. The other comment I have to make is there was a caller who mentioned a website that is mostly full of erroneous information. One of our little struggles in San Francisco is over management of open spaces, and a site about Mount Sutro was mentioned that is entirely based on hyperbole, and I would encourage readers to check out sutrostewards.org and maybe the previously mentioned website and decide for yourself.
Okay. I think I mentioned that one because it came up when I was looking for the Sutro hike. Well, do your research, and maybe we should do a show about that. All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Rez. Thank you for calling in. Let's go next to Jeff in Oakland. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you. I just wanted to mention in the East Bay, there is Huckleberry Botanic Preserve, and it's got a nice trail, lovely trail going through there, and it highlights some of the indigenous plants that are struggling to hang on, and also shows you some of the invasive species that are making their way in there, so you can see, catch views of Mount Diablo and just great views of the whole Bay Area from that particular Huckleberry Botanic Preserve in the East Bay system.
All right. Thank you for that. We've got so many more emails. I'll just read a few. Joseph says, bring water, a snack, and a jacket. Not only can it make your hike more enjoyable, it makes it easy to extend your hike if you have the time. Despite popular belief, there is no poop fairy. If your dog leaves it behind, it's your job to pick it up. Very good advice. And Joseph wanted to give a shout out to Tilden and Wildcat Canyon and the East Bay Regional Parks in the Oakland-Berkeley Hills. Alex says, Marina Bay in Richmond is a great beginner's walk along the SF Bay Trail. There are lots of birds, and it's flat, and also bus transit from BART.
Yeah, I was going to say, the person who mentioned about Huckleberry, there's also Sibley Volcanic right up there. It's also East Bay Regional, a very easy trail and great views. And earlier there was a mention about Miller Knox. I also love Isabel and Point Pinole, both flat, very easy accessible. I think even you could probably have like a wheelchair or a stroller on some of those trails. So it's great.
Sean writes, don't forget to mention that urban walks, such as walking from one end of the Mission in San Francisco to the other, is very interesting, especially right now because there are so many changes there. For the best hike, start by opening up your front door, pick a destination, and explore. That's great. Thanks, Sean. Jean writes, a shout-out for my park, McLaren, here in San Francisco. We've gotten a few calls about this. A forgotten park that is huge, 316 acres. Great vistas of the ocean and the bay, lots of up and down, a little on the wild side, two reservoir lakes. Thank you so much for that. Ron writes, San Leandro Marina Park with extensive walking paths, hugging the water and views of plains in and out of Oakland International. Chris says, the alpine hiking season is primarily summer, so I try to get 3 backpacking trips in the spring, summer, and the fall. I'd also suggest the Marin Stagecoach. You can park on Panoramic Highway and hike to Stinson Beach and catch a ride back up the hill.
That's a great trail, right? Walking on the Matt Davis Trail to Steep Ravine and down to Stinson. It's some of my favorite, just being on those open hills with the grasses and the coast and the fog. It's amazing.
I love that trail too, but I didn't know you could take the Marin Stagecoach, because sometimes if we don't have enough time to walk down and up, mm-hmm. we'll just leave one car at the bottom. Do you right. know about the Marin Stagecoach?
Yeah, it'll bring you back up towards the Pantole
right.
Ranger Station.
Okay, so you hike down and then it takes you back up.
Yep.
All right, that's great information. Did you have anything else to add on that
one? Oh, that Matt Davis Steep Ravine hike. That's
gorgeous.
I mean, everyone loves that one. It's got everything because it has waterfalls and redwoods, and you can go to the beach, and the hike back up through the grassland is spectacular.
We have Marianne writes in, please take a moment to remind folks to use our outdoor resources responsibly, tread lightly, and take your garbage with you. Another good reminder. Thank you for that. Final thoughts from both of you. We've got about a minute left. We've got just so many amazing recommendations. I hope that we all take these recommendations and spend more time outside.
I think what I've gotten from hearing what people have to say is that people find their local place and they just love it. And we are so lucky to have so many neighborhood preserves in San Francisco. Like people were saying, you step out your door and walk, and you don't have to go far to get to a hilltop with an amazing view.
And Jane, are you still exploring? I mean, you started this website in 99. Are you still finding secret places to explore?
I am. I just found this place in Belmont last week, this amazing trail called the Rambler Trail. And I thought, I'm a rambler. That sounds great for me. And I realized it's called that because partway down the trail, there is an old Rambler car that had crashed, and the trail goes over the roof of the car. That's amazing. I mean, there's lots more places like that out there, and I'm going to find them.
I mean, you've been doing this for over 15 years. So, right. I mean, it just shows that there's so many places to explore.
Yeah, my list is huge, so I don't know that I'll ever finish it, but I'm going to try.
Wow. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I moved to the East Bay 3 years ago after being in the city, and I keep trying to explore where those near places are. So I've been exploring Saucel Creek Trail there, right in Oakland, and then also I love Claremont Canyon. I recently found a trail that I didn't know, hiking up the middle of the canyon and then being able to go on the Skyline Ridge Trail. So yeah, it's always nice to find new things that mm-hmm. I hadn't noticed were there.
And a couple favorite hikes for kids, just briefly?
I think a lot of them have been mentioned. I think the Tennessee Valley and Muir Woods is a great one, mm-hmm. And Land's End. Certainly those are here in San Francisco and the Marin.
Aaron Gilbert is Program Director for Bay Area Wilderness Training. He has helped bring access to the outdoors to over 35,000 young people. Jane Huber created the Bay Area Hiker website back in 1999, and she's author of 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles, San Francisco. Aaron and Jane, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all so much for calling and all of your emails. You gave us so many great suggestions, and I hope we can all spend more time outside this year. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. Thanks for listening. On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation about the water crisis in Flint, Michigan. In 2014, a state-appointed emergency manager running the city changed its water source from the treated Detroit water system to the corrosive Flint River. The switch has caused a public health disaster. Lead-contaminated water has affected nearly all of the city's 100,000 residents, forcing them to drink bottled water. So what are the root causes of this crisis? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, Matt Martin is executive producer, and Rosalie Atkinson is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Our theme music is performed and composed by Live Human. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.